And Ashley, I apologize to you for calling you the wrong name. Will you forgive me? Okay, thank you. I knew her name. I just, sometimes my brain is going in a whole lot of different directions. And so,
senior moment.
Now, I've had them since I was 12. Yes, an old soul. So do we have our challenge verses, Miss Laura? You remember last week we had 1 Thessalonians 5:18? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pretty easy. Today's a little more difficult, but it's a very, very, very important passage of Scripture. It's not one that you normally find anywhere where you go memorize, but this is a tremendous passage of Scripture. Actually, it's one I'm going to be preaching on today. So let's stand together for the reading of this passage, and then we will break it down. And this is your memorization for this next week. I can stand off to the side. I may. Yes. Let's read it together. Now may the God of all fill you with peace, joy and peace in believing that you may abound in power. I can't read it. I thought I had it memorized. Let's do it again. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So, if there's ever been a time when God's people need to hear this message, I believe the time is now. Because a lot of times during this season that we're experiencing new mandates, during this season when we're getting a new president, during this season of coming Thanksgiving and holidays coming up, a lot of people have lost hope. Scripture says that we should have hope in the Lord. One reason, and I'm sure you've heard the statistics, there are more people, even young people, who are falling into depression, increase in suicides. There's hopelessness throughout our land, probably hopelessness throughout the world. But I want you to understand, according to this passage of Scripture, God is our source of hope. God is our source of hope. And Romans 15, 13 in the New Living Translation, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to need to stop. For some reason, at the beginning of this service, the Holy Spirit was very palatable. And now, it's like there's something not quite right. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's just search our own hearts and see what is taking place. Would you just search your own heart? I'm searching mine. And Lord, I'm asking you just to reveal anything in our lives that would hinder your Spirit from flowing today. Lord, any unconfessed sin, any animosity, any anger, any unforgiveness, any fear. Lord, would you just search our hearts? Because, Lord, we want your Spirit to rule and reign today in this congregation. We want your Spirit to rule and reign in our own personal lives. And we understand that as long as we carry things that are in opposition to you, Lord, we hinder your work in our own lives. And Lord, you know myself, and again, I can't put, you haven't told me what it is, but I know that I feel certain things and can be a hindrance to me to be able to deliver the message. And I know this is the message that you want to be delivered today. And so we come against every principality and power and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that try to interfere with your word today. We command these spirits to go to the feet of Jesus now in the name of Jesus. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. See what he says to you. Lord, do you love me? Do you love the people in this congregation? Lord, would you remove whatever's blocking you? Release your spirit upon us. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So I want to ask you, where is your source of hope? Is it Wall Street? Is it the price of gold and silver? Is it your vocation? Is it your education? Is it the country you live in? Is your source of hope social media? News commentators? You know, a lot of people put more weight on what social media says and put more weight on what news commentators say than they put weight on what God says. This passage of Scripture says, if we begin to put weight on what God says, you're going to experience hope. You're going to experience peace, and you're going to experience joy. If you are lacking in hope, peace, and joy, it's very possible that you are listening to the wrong voices. Okay? So what God wants us to experience is hope, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because that's something that he wants for us. So, I want to ask you again, where are you looking to for hope? Well, if you're not looking up, if you're not looking to him, you're not going to have much hope. Okay? You're not going to have much hope. In Romans chapter 14, 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." This is living the kingdom life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom life. If you're not experiencing hope, peace, and joy, you're not experiencing the kingdom life that God has for you. The second thing is, the only way we can drink from the well of joy is to trust in God, to believe him. That's the only way. You're not going to experience hope in any other way. We used to sing a song, and we've actually sung it here, "I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk, causes the blind to see. Opens prison doors, set the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me." That's the hope and joy and the peace that only God can bring. And he brings that through his word. We all have down days.
But we don't have to stay down because we have the promises of God whereby we can pick ourselves up. In Psalm, if you're trusting the Lord, then you will have joy. If you don't trust the Lord, then you're not going to have much joy. We're going to have difficult days. All of us have them. We can't be walking on the clouds all the time. Okay? And if you are, there's a problem. We need to see a doctor or something. But God says, I will be with you in the valley. Listen to this passage in Psalm 35. For his anger, talking about God, lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Have you ever been in the most, a very desperate, difficult, dark place in your life? All of us have. The psalmist says, I was there. And it felt like God's anger, his wrath was poured out upon me. But as I seek him and I sought for him, I experienced joy the next day. That's what Monica was talking about earlier. She said, I spent hours talking to the Lord because she was in a desperate place. But yet when she finished, there was joy that entered her heart. And that's the same it is for all of us. We need to trust him in the valley. Jeremiah found hope in the Lord and found hope in his word. Listen to this in Jeremiah 15, 16. I don't know if you know much about Jeremiah. He was a prophet, and there was a lot of people who didn't like what he had to say. And he was thrown in a pit. He was left to die, and yet God brought him out. And this is what he says, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. Where did Jeremiah find his joy? In the word of the Lord. In the word of the Lord. In the word of the Lord. And Peter said in 2 Peter 1, 3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Peter rejoiced in the benefits of being a Christian. He knew the treasure that he had in his heart because of being a Christian. Peter's hope was in the Lord. David was not a person that was free from trouble or pain. As a matter of fact, it kind of like he walked in it daily. But David learned to trust the word of the Lord. In Psalm 119, 143, it says, a pressure and stress bear down on me. A pressure and stress bear down on me, but I find joy in your commands. When pressure and stress comes, you need to find joy in the Lord's commands, to find joy in his work. In Psalm 119, 74, may all who fear you find in me a cause for joy, for I have put my hope in your word. I don't know if you... So, let me just tell you a little bit about David. David was one of those guys... Have you ever been in a place where you look back and you think that your worst nightmare turned out to be your greatest blessing? Your greatest difficulties turned out to be your greatest triumph. David was anointed king as a little kid, but he didn't take that position until years later. And because of that, because he was anointed king as a little kid, the king of Israel tried to kill him on many occasions. He even sent an army after David many times to try to capture David, try to kill him, because he did not want David to be king. He wanted his son to be king. Finally, David said, man, if I don't escape Israel,
I'm going to wind up dead. So he went to the land of the Philistines. That was smart. He didn't know where to go. He knew if he stayed in Israel, he would be dead. So he decided to go to the land of the Philistines, and of course there were people in Philistia who wanted to kill him as well. But he went to the king, and he told the king, I think his name was Achish, he said, listen, I just want to camp out in your land, and I'll be your soldier. I've got 600 men with me. We'll be your soldiers. We'll work for you. We will fight for you. We will be an army on your side. And Achish said, man, I think that's a great idea. So he gave David a little town called Ziklag, where he and his 600 soldiers and their families camped out. It was given to David. It was David's inheritance. So one day, King Achish of the Philistines was raising his army to go and battle Israel. David was in a quandary about what to do. He went, he said to King Achish, wherever you go, I'll go, I will fight for you. But there were some soldiers, his commander-in-chief, Achish's commander-in-chief said, I don't want him to go because we can't trust him. He's an Israelite, and he's going to turn on us. And he probably would have. Okay. And so King Achish, downtrodden, said, man, I really want you to go, David, but we can't let you go. So David took his army back to Achish. When he got back to, Ziklag. When he got back to Ziklag, raiders from the Amalekite army had been through. They had raided towns of Israel. They had raided towns of Philistia. They had raided Achish. They had took the women, the children, all the livestock, and they burned the town. So here comes David with his army back to Ziklag, and his army wants to kill him. They're wanting to stone him to death. I want you to listen to what David says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God, when he had no friends on the earth. But there was not one person who sided with him. David strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, David could have gotten downcast. He could have gotten depressed. He could have been in despair, but he decided, I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. And part of strengthening yourself in the Lord is to remember God's promises. Part of strengthening yourself in the Lord is begin to praise Him for the promises, even though you don't see the promises being effective at the moment. So David decided to strengthen himself in the Lord. He got into God's Word, and he began remembering the promises that God had made him. I don't know if this was the occasion or not, but he penned Psalm 103, which says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all my sins, who heals all of my diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen, David said, he's telling his soul, bless the Lord. Quit being depressed. Quit being downcast. Soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. I don't care how you feel, soul. Bless the Lord. And so he was just telling himself, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And not only that, he said, everything in me, bless the Lord. Everything in me, bless the Lord. Even when I feel like crud, bless the Lord. That's what he's telling himself. He's telling his soul, bless the Lord. I don't feel like it, soul says. I don't care what you feel like. David says, bless the Lord anyhow. Bless the Lord anyhow. Not only soul, you bless the Lord, but everything in you, everything in me, bless the Lord. I'm telling you, soul, I'm telling everything in me, bless the Lord, even though I don't feel like it. Whoo! Man, if we can get a hold of that, if we can get a hold of that, it doesn't really care what the news media says. It doesn't really care who's going to be president. It doesn't really matter what the news commentator, it really don't matter. Because the Lord has the final say. And we need to bless him even in the bad times. It's easy to bless him in the good times. But we need to bless him because of his promises to us even in the bad times. You remember a lady named Esther? She was, in Susan, the capital. And she was an orphan girl living with her uncle. And had really no hope. But then she became queen of Media and Persia. Gee whiz. Her greatest defeat was a stepping stone to her greatest victory. Let me finish the story of David. David decided, I'm going to go after the Amalekites with my 600 men. And so he started charging after the Amalekites, and on their way, he didn't know which direction they went or anything, but they found this fella out in the desert, an Egyptian slave, and they said, hey, who are you? He said, well, I'm an Egyptian slave. The Amalekites left me here 3 days ago because I got sick, and they thought I was going to die, and I was kind of holding them up. And so they just kind of left me here to die, And David said, will you take us to them? What a coincidence. Will you take us to them? And the guy said, sure, if you promise not to turn me over to them. And so David gave him some water and some food, kind of nursed him back to health, and they went after the Amalekites. When they got to the Amalekites, not one of the children, not one of the wives, everyone was still intact. And all of the plunder that they had received from the towns in Israel and the towns of Philistia and of Ziklag, David was able to gather for himself. He had quite the plunder. It was quite the day. This is what he did. He took some of the plunder and he went back to the land of Israel and he gave it to the tribe of Judah, which was his tribe, and said, this is a gift to you. And 3 days later, they made him king. 3 days later, they made him king. Incredible. His greatest defeat was a stepping stone to his greatest victory. I don't know where you are. Let me tell you my own story, a little bit. I mean, I got lots of stories like Monica has. So before I came to this church, I was pastoring a church in the South. That congregation and I didn't get along very well. And one Sunday, I came in, and they said, we're going to have a business meeting, and we're going to vote you out of being our pastor. I didn't like that very much. And so we had a business meeting, and they did vote me out being their pastor. Our personalities clashed. And so I can't imagine me being anybody not wanting me. But this church voted to get rid of me. And, of course, it was like, man, I was mad.
I was angry. I was hurt. And, you know, some in the church were saying, you need to just start your own church. Yeah. But do you know the next church that called me was this church? And it has been one of the greatest blessings in my life. The greatest blessing. I'm so glad that church decided to get rid of me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but let me just say, it wasn't their fault entirely. Because I was not always Christ-like in my... Do you know sometimes, and this is one of our prayers, Lord, I need your message, but I also need the right spirit in which to deliver it. Okay? My son still laughs about a sermon I preached there. The title of it, What Seems to Be Your Problem. So let me just, you know, they're not all at fault down there, though I like to think they are. Some of that is my fault as well. So, however, what I'm just saying is that sometimes your greatest difficulty can be the catalyst to the next great thing God has for you. And we ought not get down. But this passage of Scripture in Romans says that we need to praise the Lord even when. Because He has a plan, and nobody can mess up His plan. Maybe we can, you know. Maybe we can for a moment, but nobody's going to mess up His plan. God's got a plan. My wife said, we should have never left Northwest to start with, to go back south, because we were here from 78 to about 87, something like that. And so she says, we should have never left Northwest to start with. Anyway. God has a plan, and He's going to get you. Even if you mess it up, He's going to get you back. Amen, Monica? Because He loves you. Because He loves you with all of His heart. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Third thing I want you to see is that we rejoice because we trust God. We believe His word. We rejoice because we trust God. We believe His word. Again, that passage of Scripture in Romans 15:13, I pray that God, the source of all hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Did you get it? It's because you trust in Him. Because you trust in His word. Because you see His word and you accept it. And you say, that's mine. I believe God's word. Therefore, I'm going to rejoice in it. I don't care what's going on in our community. I don't care what's going on in our state. I don't care what's going on. I mean, I do care. But that's not going to affect my ability to rejoice because I know what God's word says. And I'm going to hold on to what God says and not pay attention to what the naysayers say. How many people on social media do you find having a lot of joy? You become what you hang around. How many people on news media do you find have a lot of joy? You know, I can listen to about, I even turn the radio on because I don't have television. Per se, I've got Roku. I don't get much news on Roku. Turn the radio on about, 3 minutes and I'm done. Okay? Because it puts me in a bad place. I would rather hear what God says and rejoice in Him rather than what the news commentators say or the talk show hosts say and put my faith in them. Here's what God says. And listen, this is what this passage says. And you need to get this.
Rejoicing because you believe God's word releases the power of the Holy Spirit to act on your behalf. Let me say that again. Rejoicing because you believe God's word releases the power of the Holy Spirit to act on your behalf. Do you know how much delight you give the Father when you just believe Him because He said it? This is what the Father says. And we take it, we begin thanking Him and praising Him because we believe it. We can take it to the bank. Not just because of what He does. He will bring that to pass. But rejoicing because you believe God's word, it allows the Holy Spirit to be released in your life to act upon what you believe. That's what Romans 15:13 tells us. And it also tells us, then you will overflow with confident hope. What's the difference between hope and confident hope? Hope is kind of a dream. Hope I win the lottery. I hope this COVID thing passes like next week. I hope my ball team wins the Super Bowl. I hope. It's kind of like a pipe dream. It may or may not come to pass. And oftentimes we put our joy in false hopes. And if my team wins the Super Bowl, wonderful. But that joy passes pretty quick because somebody else will beat them next year. But confident hope, something totally different. Confident hope is knowing that you know that you know that you know that you know that what God has promised is going to come to pass. You know it. Not because you see it, but because the Lord has affirmed that in your heart. And you just know it. And nobody can persuade you otherwise. Have you ever had that confident hope? And knowing that you know that you know? And nobody can move that from you. That's what he's talking about. If you take God's word, if you believe it, start rejoicing in it, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, allowing you to receive what that you've been praising the Lord for, and he gives you the confident hope. One more passage. It was a warning to Israel, and I think it's a warning to us. Deuteronomy 28, 47 and 48 says, because you did not, and actually, the Lord is preparing Israel because he knows they're going to go away from him. He said, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy, with a glad heart, for the abundance of things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and the lack of things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Because you did not, rejoice in the Lord for the abundance of the things he has given you. And he's going to turn you over to the enemy to take from you what God has given you. Perhaps that's where the United States is right now. Because God has blessed us abundantly. More than any other nation on the planet. And yet we refuse to give him thanks. We refuse to rejoice and take joy in the abundance of the things
he's given us. What if? This speaks to our own lives specifically. What if, by us not rejoicing in the Lord over the benefits of being a Christian, and we grumble and gripe and complain, that the enemy then has access to us and begins to have a foothold to build strongholds in our life? I believe this is a warning to us that if we don't rejoice, if we grumble, gripe, and complain, if we don't take God's word seriously and begin to rejoice over the promises that he has given us, then the enemy is going to have access to start building strongholds in our lives. And again, we all go through difficult, dark, down days. All of us. We need to do like David and say, so, bless the Lord. Everything in me, bless the Lord. Don't care how you feel, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Because of all the benefits of being his child, bless the Lord. Find hope in his word. If you get down, let's just say you go watch the news or get on social media and you get down and you want to share that with everybody. What if you went to the Word and discovered what God said and began sharing that with everybody? I think you could infect people with joy just as well as you can infect people with negativism. God wants us to be joyful in Him. Get rid of the fear. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the hatred. Some people are really upset at our governor, including myself. But I'm not going, she's not a believer. That's the way non-believers act. Okay? That's just the way they act. So we need to pray for her, as we do for everyone who is moving in ways that are contrary to God's word. Perhaps today the Lord is moving on your heart. There's some things that you need to address with Him, maybe address with others. I don't know. But He wants you to find hope in Him so that you can experience the joy of the Lord in your life. Father, we come before you today. And Lord, you thank you for your word to us. And Lord, forgive me for not finding hope in your word and oftentimes being drawn into negativism. Lord, I pray, God, that the joy of the Lord would reside here. And Lord, would we take joy in your word, we'd take joy in your promises, that you would move upon us so that we could accomplish what you have us to accomplish. Lord, there are some here today who may have gone through a very difficult season. And Lord, I pray that that would be a stepping stone to their, to what you have for them. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together as we